So this morning, we're actually starting a brand new series called Prepare to Launch. Maybe. Click. Trying out a new clicker today. And there we go. Prepare to Launch. We are just over a month away from our expected time to come back together. And so we want to take August and just talk about some things that help us get ready for this new season that we've got coming. I've lost it again. There we go. So we're going to talk about some really practical things. We're going to talk about some spiritual things. But all of it applies to each and every one of us. And so I hope that you are challenged. And I know the idea of coming back together as a big group has lots of different reactions. Some of us are really excited. Some of us, we need that Sunday morning service where it's not just sitting at home listening, but we need to be around like-minded people to pray for each other, to encourage each other, to talk about our challenges and our struggles. And so the idea of coming back together is really exciting for some of us. For some of us, given the current situation and everything that's going on, the idea of coming back together is not exciting. Whether we've got immune problems or I know there's some people in our church that are just really anxious when it comes to just getting together with people. And it actually takes a lot to get out of bed on Sunday morning and to come and be around this. Even though we're great, even though we're loving and we just love one another and encourage one another, just being around people makes some people anxious. So that is not appealing. And let's be honest, for some, the idea of having to get up, get ready for church, get the kids ready, get out the door, just doesn't seem quite as appealing as staying in the pajamas, sitting in the lazy boy with my favorite cup of coffee in the morning. Like, if we're just being honest, like this, we have gotten into some bad habits with church online. And so there's lots of challenges facing us getting back to what we know. And church isn't going back to the way it used to be. We know this. We know that church has forever been changed because of this pandemic. And there's just some parts are going to get back to normal, but some parts never are going back to normal. Some parts are going to just forever be changed, and that's okay. And we just have to be ready for what these changes are. Now, one of the big challenges that we're facing right now is even though we as a council have said we want to be open by September, one of the tough parts is that thanks to the current situation in Saskatchewan, we don't know what that looks like. We don't know if the restrictions are going to change. We don't know if the regulations are going to allow for us to meet the way that we hope to. But the good news is that we serve a God that is so much bigger than what we are seeing with our eyes. The news can tell us whatever it wants to tell us. It can get in our faces and do. It can be discouraging. It can be but we know that God can do the miraculous, and that even though things haven't quite gone according to the plan that we had, God's plan hasn't changed. God hasn't been caught off guard. God hasn't been shocked by everything that's developed. And we have the privilege and the honor of coming to the almighty, miraculous, miraculously powerful and ever-working God to change the situation that we find ourselves in so that we can meet, so that we can get back to church, so that we can do the things that so many of us are anxious to do. And so one of the things we're going to be doing over the course of August is we're actually going to have 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. Now, why do we always do 3 weeks? I don't know. It's what we've always done. So starting next Monday, so August 10th, we don't have a slide about it, but starting August 10th, we're going to declare 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. And as the major focus of it is coming before our God saying, God, we need you to do something miraculous. We need you to do something beyond explanation so that when September comes, we can get back to church. We can get back to the gathering of the people, get back to the gathering of the family, and do what we know you've called us to do, to encourage one another, to pray for one another, and to worship together and lift your name higher than every other name that is on earth. And so, over the next number of weeks, that's the focus. Prayer, fasting, and all the practical things that we can do as a community to get ready for this opening. Which brings me to my first question. Have you ever been on a sports team? And when you were on that sports team, did you have any success with that sports team? So whatever sport you played, again, if you're new, you can see that these questions really don't have right or wrong answers. These are just kind of about you, where have you, what have you been, what's been your experience, what's been going on. I'm going to leave that up for a bit, but when I grew up, the town I grew up in, if everyone didn't play a sport, the sport didn't happen. So if we wanted a hockey team, all the guys in that age group had to play hockey because there weren't enough of us to actually pull off a team if we didn't all play. Same applied to volleyball, same applied to flag football, same, like, it all applied. If we wanted a team, we all played. And so that meant I played a lot of sports growing up, but I was not very good at any of them. It's kind of the jack of all trade, expert of none. That was me. I could play just about any sport, but I was no superstar on any of those teams. And I was thinking about this team dynamic, thinking about this, the idea of sports. The thing that stood out to me was when I played hockey. Now, my brother and I both played hockey. I have a younger brother. And when I played hockey, our team just was never very good. And was I a part of the reason we weren't very good? Probably. I did not contribute a whole lot to this to the team. But we just had a lot of years of struggle when it came to hockey. But when you look at my brother's years in hockey, he was really good. There's a reason that his name is on a championship banner in the local rink, and mine is not. His team, for whatever reason, same town, same league, same towns we played against, but he just had lots of really good success. In fact, one season, they went undefeated. Never lost a game the whole year, even through all playoffs. They just cleaned house. And as I was thinking about the difference between why they had so much success and why I didn't, was because on our teams, and this is no, I'm not saying that there's a fault of the coach or anything like that, but there were a few guys that were really talented, and they were a cut above the rest of us. And so they got all the ice time, they got all the accolades. While they were out there playing my butt was creating a nice impression on the bench because that was my spot. When the crunch time came and we needed the win, I warmed the bench and they were out there playing. But when my brother's team would play and you go watch them, everybody played. Everybody had their role. Everybody knew what their job was when they hit the ice. You had your grinders, you had your skilled guys. You had your shutdown D, you had everybody knew their role, and they came together in such a way that they were defeating teams twice their size. They're defeating communities twice their size that had way bigger pool of players to pull from. These guys just melded together and became the epitome of what teamwork was. And because they worked as a unit, because of the way they came together, they're unbeatable. And when I think about that kind of teamwork, when we think about that kind of unity, that's the kind of thing that comes to mind when we think of Paul in 1 Corinthians 12. We're in 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12. If you've grown up in church, you've heard this verse, you've heard this passage of verses lots. You could probably quote them by memory. Some of you could even do it in Old English King James, because that's when you first heard it. Like, this is not a new, but I want to point out some really important things about this passage. So, 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12, here we go. For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we are, were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts of the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor. And our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect. With our respectable parts do not, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. There's a lot going on. And of course, like I said, most of you probably know this, but I want to set some context for this passage before we dive into how it applies to us and getting ready for launch. Up until chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, Paul has been addressing a church that has been absolutely at war with each other. They've been fighting about which pastor they align with, which pastor they like better. They've been fighting about what kind of food they should eat and shouldn't eat. They've been fighting about whether or not they should be circumcised. They've been fighting because there's false teachers coming in, trying to talk about a gospel that is not same to the one that Paul preached. They've been fighting so much, and Paul's trying to address all these different fights throughout 1 Corinthians. He's like, stop it! Stop fighting about food. You don't agree on that? That's okay. You don't have to agree. Just do what appeases your conscience. You don't agree on which pastor is the best. Guess what? We're all working for God, and that's the only person you should really be aligned with anyways. And Paul goes through, and he's like, stop this fighting, because you are the body. You all have different gifts. You all have different talents. You have different abilities. You have different interests. But it all works together to achieve one common goal. And he's basically saying there's bigger fish to fry. There's a whole world of people out there who haven't experienced the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. So go focus on that and stop fighting. Stop getting each other's faces about these little petty things. Be unified. Work as a single unit with all of your different gifts and all of your different talents. And that is the same thing that happens today. We all have different gifts. We all have different talents. We have different interests. We have different perspectives. We all bring our different flavor. We're all parts of this thing called the church, and we all need to do our part, because it doesn't matter what your personality is. It doesn't matter what your gifting is. It doesn't matter. None of that matters, because we all have the same mission. And the mission is to get into our communities, get into our families, get into our province, and use the influence we have, use the gifts that we have, use everything God has given us to see people come to know the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. That is the mission that we are all on. How we do it might not look the same as your brother or sister, but that is okay, because if we're going to do this and we're going to do it well, it's going to take all of us working in unison in a way, in the same way that our bodies work in unison with one another. Which brings me to my second question. Have you ever felt you weren't part of the team? Now, that could be church, that could be at business, that could be, you know, if you're doing extracurricular sports or whatever. Anytime there's a team involved, have you ever been part of it but not really felt like you were a contributing part of it? And the second question is, why did you feel that way? Why did you feel that you didn't have a part to play in accomplishing the bigger? And there could be so many answers. Again, there's no wrong answer here. But Paul actually takes the time, and he's describing the body. He actually starts addressing some of the reasons that we have for feeling like we're disqualified, feeling like we don't actually have a role in this thing called church or this thing called the team that we're a part of or the business that we are employed by. But we're going to focus on the church. Why is it that we feel like we're not a part of this thing called church? Why do we feel like we don't have something to contribute? And here are some of the reasons that Paul has. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And what Paul is saying is that the hand is important. He's not denying that our hands play a vital part in our life, and there's certain gifts within church that would be like hand level gifts, right? So like if you sing, then you have a spot on the worship team. If you can speak, then you have a spot, then you can have opportunity to get on stage and share and encourage one another and build. If you have the ability to lead, we have a place. We'll find a ministry for you to take those leadership spots. But if you don't feel like you can sing, you don't feel like you can speak, you don't feel like a leader, then sometimes you're like, well, because I'm not those things, I don't actually have a spot. But the reality is that the singers on stage are only as good as the guy in the booth that's controlling the knobs. Because these guys, if the sound guy really wanted to, everyone on stage could sound like Mickey Mouse. If he really wanted to, he could really mess with everything that's going on. So the guy behind the scenes is just as important as the one on the stage. The preacher is only as good as the people who are praying for him to speak God's word with authority and power. So the prayer team is just as vital as the guy on stage preaching. And the leader, any leader will tell you that the leader is only as good as the support cast that's coming up behind him and filling all the gaps and supporting him in the mission and the vision that he feels like he has to accomplish. Just because you are not a hand, just because you don't have a certain skill set, does not mean you don't have a place, because every part of the body is vital for life and thriving and enjoyment. Every person in the church is vital to accomplishing the things that God has called us to do, have an impact on the community that he has put us in. The body needs the hands, but the body just as much needs the elbow, needs the knees, needs the... You may not be these prominent things, but you still have something to offer, and we still need you to get involved. The second way Paul talks about someone, or talks about us feeling disqualified, is someone makes us feel like we're disqualified. In verse 21, he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. We can't have people saying, you don't belong because you don't have the right skill set. And if you've ever heard that at church, I just want to be the first to say, I'm really sorry that you heard that. I'm really sorry someone told you you didn't have a spot on the team because you didn't have the right skill set. That is a load. You are designed and purposed by God Almighty. And if your skill set doesn't fit, it's not your fault. It's the church's fault for not finding a way to get you plugged in. When Paul talks about how the weaker the weaker parts are actually more honored or actually more valuable, do you know what Paul's talking about when he talks about weaker parts? He's talking about your brain. He's talking about your eye. He's talking about your organ. These parts that, if they were exposed, are easily bruised, easily damaged, easily disrupted. But none of us are going to say, I don't need my organs. None of us are going to say, I don't need my brain. Okay? They're weaker parts. They're sensitive. But nobody's saying we don't need them. In fact, they are more vital to the success of life than some of the other parts of our body. In the same way in church, if you feel like you have a weaker gift, if you feel like you have a gift that doesn't really fit, that doesn't disqualify you. It just means that you have an opportunity to do something that maybe has never been done in church before, to reach people that maybe we haven't been able to reach before, and have a bigger impact than we've ever had before. Your gifts, your interests, your talents do not disqualify you. In fact, they just make you more qualified, because as you step into new and exciting things, it actually opens the door for more people who feel like their gift doesn't fit to find those new and exciting areas of ministry and service that not only does the church need to step into, but our community needs. Our community needs you to use your gifts to advance the kingdom into places that we haven't been able to get the kingdom before. Your gifts, your talents, the way God has knit you together and you've placed you here into this church for such a time as this, means that you have an opportunity that maybe no one else has ever had to do something that no one's ever done before. And I don't know about you, but that excites me, that we have people in church like that. That we have people in this group that we call family that are going to do things that's never been done before. Which brings me to why I wanted to start this Prepare to Launch series with this idea of teamwork and unity of the body. This is the stat that has been going around a lot lately. And this, you've probably heard this before, it's not going anywhere, and that's probably the most troubling part. Statistically in church, 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. 20% of the people are doing 80% of the church, or 80% of the work. And these stats, when you look at the churches that these stats apply to, they are churches that have plateaued, or they are churches that are in decline. And when 20% of the people do 80% of the work, the 20% start to get tired, they start to get wore out, and they start to draw away, and then all of a sudden nobody's doing any of the work. It is not up to the pastor to do everything. It's not up to the pastor's council to do everything. It is up to all of us. Because just as these stats apply to churches that are in decline and falling, churches that are growing and thriving and making an impact on their community, everybody is involved. Everyone's found their spot. Everybody knows their role. And one of the interesting things is, and this is, it's a challenge that we are facing in our society, is that when it comes to commitment, when it comes to getting involved, the expectation for today is that I am committed to church unless something better comes along. I am committed to this thing, but if something better comes along, I'm out. And because what is considered to be something better is different depending on the person and their personality and their interests, it is so hard to judge what things to schedule around, because what's going to draw people away is so random. It's so unpredictable. But for those churches that are thriving, for those churches that are growing, we find a bunch of people who have decided that church is the best thing no matter what comes along. No matter what comes up, no matter what event, no matter who's in town, no matter what, we have committed that church is always 100% the best thing that's happening, no matter what's going on, no matter if it makes me feel comfortable. And if we are going to make the impact that I know God has called us to, I am fully believing that when we get back to things as usual in fall, that this is going to be the best kickoff we've ever had. This is going to be the most exciting. You're going to come back to some major changes. It's going to light your fire. But in order for us to get to that spot, it's going to take 100% of the people doing 100% of the work. It's going to take all of us getting involved. You are a part of this body. You are a member. And the other thing that has become a struggle, and it's not just, it's every church, it's every organization. We find that people, we sit back and we wait to be asked to get involved. Because if somebody doesn't ask us, then we just assume it's somebody else's responsibility. Well, if we all think somebody else is going to do it, 90% of the time, nobody ends up doing it. It's not, you don't wait for that phone call to say, hey, we're doing this and I need you to help. If there's an opportunity to serve, then just jump in, both feet, get going, get ready to go. When there's a work bee, show up. Even if you don't know what to do, just show up. We'll find something for you to do. If there's an opportunity to serve our community, show up. Even if you don't know how to serve, even if you don't know how to make pancakes or whatever we decide to do, we'll find something for you to do. Don't wait to be asked. When there is an opportunity to get going, get here and get going. And it's only when we get to that spot where we are so unified, we're so on mission, that every time the church does something, we all show up. That's what's going to make the impact. That's what's going to change our community. Because what if we come back to the body analogy, I don't have to say, right hand, take clicker from left hand, right? Like, that would slow things down incredibly. My right hand just knows that when I need to take the clicker, it just takes the clicker. When it needs to go to the left hand, like, right, like, there, it's seamless, and every part knows. It is amazing how preaching just wears a person out. You'd think I'm just standing here speaking, but by the time I'm done for the day. I am tired, and everything hurts. And I know I wave my hands around and I kind of move around a little bit more than the average guy, but I am spent because it is a full body thing. But if I had to tell each individual part when to move and when to do its thing, it would become a very different message. And just in the same way, it is a very different church if every single time we did something, it was, we had to call everybody and be like, hey, are you coming? Hey, are you coming? Hey, are you coming? Instead, we just have this expectancy that if we're doing something, everyone's showing up because we're excited for the mission, we're excited for what God wants to do, and we don't want to miss out on what's happening. God has placed you here for such a time as this. Don't miss out on the opportunities that God is going to give you to serve and to make an impact on our community around us. Which brings me to my last question. I'm going to leave this with you as we pray. Question number three, are you ready to play your part? Will you be a part of the 100% that fully commits, fully dives in, and gets ready to do that all that God has called us to do? Let's pray. I'm going to leave the question up as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, that your mission and vision for the church and for your kingdom is bigger than one person. It's bigger than, it takes all of us to accomplish it. If we want to make an impact on our community, if we want to impact families, if we want to impact kids, if we want to impact businesses, if we want to impact Carlisle and Redverse and the surrounding area, it can't fall on the shoulders of 10 or 20 people. It's going to take all of us getting involved, giving our all to see the change, to be the change that we need. God, I thank you that you invite us, no matter our skills, no matter our interests, no matter the person, none of it matters. You just call all of us to come into step with you. And God, I am excited because I know that this year we are going to do things that have never been done before. And we're going to see lives changed on a scale that we're not even ready for. Because you're a big God. Because you're the miraculous. You do wondrous things beyond our imagination. And God, we want to be in step with you and see the miraculous happen. God, we love you. We thank you for the gifts and the talents that you've given us. And I just pray you stir each and every one of us to be a part of the 100%, to be part of the body that accomplishes great things for your name. God, we love you. Give you all our praise and thanks in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.